It is time now for Conversations with the Mayors, presented by the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce, a membership organization that serves and advances the business interests of our community and builds a sustainable community where business thrives. Get more on them at carolinachamber.org. Joined now in the studio by Pam Heminger, the mayor of Chapel Hill. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
We like the sun coming out.
Right?
Yes, we do.
I was in Panera is my office, so I'm sitting there and looking out the window, and I didn't bring an umbrella, of course. So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden it starts raining, raining harder. And then I look up, and the sun's out. It's like, all right, I guess I'm leaving.
That. We like the sun part. We like well, good. We had a great meeting this week on our 2019 200-year celebration of our government, and I know you were there too. But it was a lot of fun. Aaron Nelson and Missy Julian Fox brought us some pictures to share, and that was really cool to look at.
Aaron Nelson brought everything. Yeah, I know. He brought the pictures.
Thought there was going to be a test. He had books. He had reports.
It was great.
He had pictures. It was great.
I learned a lot. Like so going back, 1819 was the year that the town of Chapel Hill was officially chartered. The first town commissioners were appointed, so celebrating the 200th anniversary of that this year with a bunch of events coming up. And I like it was a committee meeting to talk about next steps, what are we going to plan for the next few months. I learned a lot about about town history just from sitting there listening to other people talking, so I'm excited about this.
So former Mayor Howard Lee was there, and his stories were just very eye-opening to who we were and who we hope we grow out of. And then he came up with the theme to share with us, the growing older, getting better.
Yep.
We liked that.
Yeah.
And then we talked about focusing on some firsts in our community and what makes us unique, why we're still Chapel Hill and consider ourselves very unique. But like you said, we're going to try to roll out a bunch of events. We're soliciting input from folks. If you have ideas, we don't want to have just one big like birthday cake and rah-rah. We want to help connect people to our own unique history here and to learn about our community. And we want to, you know, admit to what our mistakes were, but celebrate our firsts in our community that make us different and the things that we're still trying to achieve.
So and come out of it with something
tangible.
Lasting
that
and
was,
tangible.
That was
yeah.
Tangible. That was,
durable
that was,
goods, I think,
that,
was the,
that was
the
term,
yeah.
Yeah, so.
That was the word that was used. But yeah, I'm excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And November is the actual
November
anniversary.
November 20th is the actual date. We'll probably do a little earlier in November because I think that falls right in the holidays, but we'll see. We'll figure it out yesterday. So, and then yesterday, Maurice Jones and I had lunch with former mayors. We wanted a chance to introduce him to former mayors in the town. We had a chance to share stories. I always learn so much. It's just amazing. But it was also just a lot of fun. We were laughing because I asked their advice always, or perspective or history on things that came before me so I could have a better understanding. And I was talking about the Wasamba line. The Wasamba is the water and sewer services boundary line that we bind. It's different from the rural buffer.
Okay.
So it's like an urban services boundary line, but it's an agreement between all five parties, including OWASA, about where we will allow water and sewer services. And I'm going to be at the Assembly of Governments on Tuesday talking about two small parcels in the north of town where one has the Wasamba line through it, but we want to be able to include it to the other small parcel. These are town-owned parcels, so we can allow water and sewer to go on them. And so I just ask, what's the history of why it's in the southern part of the certain area? What does it look like? You know, tell me how it came from. And so Mayor Foy was going on about what he is remembering why, and Mayor Waldorf was going on about what she remembered from the story. And then finally, Mayor Ken Rowden said, who and what is Wasamba? And I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, I'm wondering that now, too, because the way you described it is how I've always understood the rural buffer to be. Like, that's the line that the water and sewer don't go beyond.
Yeah, but it's not. They're not in the same places at the same areas of town. So that makes it confusing as well.
So what then is the rural buffer, then?
So the rural buffer is actually designated to be rural buffer, and it has certain elements of planning and zoning affected to it. And then there are certain properties that are inside. They're on the city side of the rural buffer, so they're inside the rural buffer that don't have water and sewer to them. So one of the definitions of the rural buffer was to not provide water and sewer.
Right,
there. But we actually have parcels that aren't in the rural buffer
that also
that
don't have water and sewer. Okay,
and
gotcha.
There were choices made at some point in time for different reasons, so we were just exploring that and taking a look at it. So
wow.
Yeah. And why it cuts across half of one town parcel and not, you know, so we'll see.
I was going to say, we always talk, I was just had Penny Rich on yesterday from Orange County, and she was talking about just kind of overlapping services that the county and the towns provide, and this kind of strikes me as that, like, we've got two buffer rings around the town that are almost the same, but not quite.
But not quite.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
It's
so,
interesting.
And do we? I mean, there's reasons for not making them quite the same all over, mm-hmm. but there's also reasons for maybe reconsidering the Wasamba line on properties that aren't in the rural buffer. Especially south of town, along the 15501 corridor. So we're not there yet. We're just looking at these two small parcels to start the conversation. We'll see where we go with that.
All right.
We have someone interested in putting a commercial building, and so you kind of have to have water and sewer.
Right,
anyway,
right.
So we'll just see where this. We'll see where it goes.
The rustic
Tuesday.
Commercial just doesn't appeal to businesses anymore.
Yeah. I met with a neighborhood group up at Northwood this week, too, talking about the I-40 widening project, which will public meeting is this evening, by the way, up in Hillsboro on this project. DOT has come back with a couple of different options. We think there's some more nuancing that could be done, but we certainly don't want to disrupt a neighborhood. That's not, the council's not for that. So we'll be looking to listen to the comments that come tonight from this meeting, but then forming a resolution to go forward to DOT with our preferences. And I can tell you right now the council really doesn't want to disrupt neighborhoods, but there may be other options besides Super Street. And we don't know, but we're gonna be talking about that coming up.
And for people listening out there, we mentioned this yesterday, but if you want to go to the meeting tonight, it's at the Passmore Center, is that correct? From 4 to 7?
Yes.
4 to 7 this afternoon, so it starts in 15 minutes, but you can drop in any time between then and 7 o'clock.
Right, and the comments all have to be into DOT by February 8th.
Okay.
This project's moving lickety-split down the path. They want to start construction in 2 years. So we need to have some answers. We also want to make sure they stage the construction at the intersection. I think everyone's really, I will say most people are understanding and actually thinking we do need to widen I-40 to the full 6 lanes. In fact, they're not talking about actually widening it. They're talking about going into the median and taking the land from there in most places. It stops being 6 lanes at 15501 and stays that way all the way to, well, it merges with 85.
Yeah.
And so that's an 11.5-mile stretch. And they're talking about making it 6 lanes to help that bottleneck of getting cars in as they merge on.
Every single weekday afternoon when I'm doing the traffic, that slowdown right there when the 3-lane merge.
And so interestingly enough about that slowdown, while being frustrating for many motorists, it's also our major source of air pollution.
Yeah.
All of the stacking of cars and sitting and idling and the amount of time. So that's interesting because we don't really have big industry in our community. Mm-hmm. And it sits in a valley.
And it's also a source of accidents, apparently, too.
It's,
again, talking with Penny Rich yesterday,
yes,
and
it
she
is.
Had
the fire,
statistics.
The rural fire departments have to service along there, and it's hard. We have 2 interstates running through our county, and it makes it really, really difficult to service all those because you're in charge of all that. And interestingly enough, we had big discussions a long time ago about the cell service along there because those users all pick up on our cell towers and we don't have enough cell tower coverage, it blocks the line for emergency services sometimes. So it's very interesting.
God.
Yeah.
Commissioner Rich had numbers yesterday, and that the intersection of 40 and 86 apparently right there off of MLK is the worst intersection for accidents in the area, which surprised me, but at the same time, it's not that surprising.
Well, it's not because it really wasn't designed to handle that kind of capacity. And then the trouble and the reason they're trying to come up with all these different solutions for widening that intersection there and making changes is because you don't normally have a traffic signal at the end of an exit ramp from the highway onto 86. The next light at Eubanks Road is less than 1,000 feet, so the car is stacking that way. But the cars are actually stacking back onto the highway is the biggest safety concern. They don't want cars stacking onto the highway. So how do we, on both sides, so the ones exiting off of coming west on 40 and going east on 40, they both are stacking and causing this dilemma. So we'll see.
Right.
So lots of different, keep your ears tuned for that. We have the council retreat this weekend. We start tomorrow afternoon and then we go again on Saturday. Our major focus is going to be on the budget. And then we're going to be talking about a climate action plan and a few other priorities for the years and what the trade-offs are for budgeting and those kinds of purposes.
What does the council get out of the retreat?
What do we get out of it?
Yeah.
A lot of papers?
What? So what does this turn into, kind of tangibly?
So it gets, gives the manager a better sense of where the council, he gets a chance to orient since he's new, and we haven't been through budget process. He will explain the way he would prefer to do a budget process. We get to ask questions. We're going to be talking about trade-offs. We're going to talk about long-range goals. We're going to talk about our fund balance, our different enterprise balances, a more in-depth to make sure that all council members are more familiar with debt fund versus, and we don't have a capital improvements maintenance plan fund, and then what are the budget drivers? Our healthcare costs predicted to go up or down. Trying to talk all those out so you can have a better conversation as we go through the budget process in general. But it's going to be a good in-depth knowledge learning of our budget process, but also what we have as a town, and does our budget align to our goals? So how much money are we spending in this area if that's truly one of our goals? Affordable housing being a good example. What are we trying, you know, are we allocating enough resources? Is it working? And so you can have better conversations when council's all up to speed on the same scenarios of what we've been through.
Do you have a sense of how Maurice Jones's approach to the budget will be similar or differ from Roger Stancil's, or will you find that out this
weekend?
I'm
going to be
more?
Finding out more, but okay. Yeah, I've been having a lot of good conversations. We didn't like how the budget unfolded last year with, here it is. So we'll be talking about how we align. He wants to hear what the council goals are so that he can then take a deeper dive into saying, are we really focusing our energies in that direction? We're also going to be either reaffirming the goals we have or refining or retuning as part of our discussion, because when I came into office, we had still had the 2020 goals going, and then we were new and stuff, so we just reaffirmed those, and then this next new council came in, and they're brand new, and these goals expired, and our goals were set from 2016 to 2018. Well, maybe we need a little longer horizon than that, but also this particular council needs to reaffirm those are the same goals. Some of the things we've actually, not the goals, but some of the subcategory action items have actually been done, so what other action items are we looking at? So that's what we'll be getting out of it.
All right.
And then Sunday, there's a lot of events going on. There's an environmental, two different environmental platforms going on that citizens have called themselves, which I'm really thrilled about, and going to those to hear that. We're doing the dedication of the tiny homes over at the Church of the Advocate, and then there's an affordable housing person coming in to talk to the Association of Realtors, and we're going to be meeting with him Sunday evening as well, so that'll be a lot of fun. So it's a big weekend. And then we have our Assembly of Governments meeting on Tuesday. It's a really big agenda, but it'll be up in Hillsboro. And then we have our own things going on about, we have another meeting for Innovating Parks and Recreation Programs at the Ideas at the Hargrave Center on Monday next week. And then we have our council meeting on the 30th.
Wow.
It will be.
No rest at all.
A lot of reading. You know, I always laugh when the school kids come in and ask, you know, do I use reading, writing, or math more? And I'm like, oh, reading.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So,
the Assembly of Governments meeting coming up on Tuesday, mm-hmm. What are the topics of discussion going to be there?
Collaborating on different things, affordable housing being one of them. How do we collaborate better on affordable housing so we get bigger bang for our bucks? Because there's grants out there and working together and maybe opportunities in one community. We're all one big community, so we're talking about that. We're talking about transit in general and how, you know, what do we need to expand? Are we meeting our needs here? What does that look like? Partnerships on economic development. What happens anywhere in the county, whether it's Chapel Hill, Carborough, Hillsborough, in the rural part, helps all of us. So how do we do a better job partnering on all that? I'll be bringing that Wasamba story forward. I'm on the census committee, so I'm hopeful to share information about what we need to be thinking about in the census. I'm trying to think what else was on the list. It was a really packed list, but it was more about these different areas and how we collaborate together.
We talk a lot about town-county government. What about town-in-town collaboration?
Well, so everyone's there at the table talking, but
right.
I'm talking about everybody collaborating together, not just town and county. I'm talking about all the towns and the county working together on this, so be in good conversation. I think we're all having retreats this weekend.
I think so,
Sure.
Or thereabouts. Orange County and Chapel Hill definitely
and
are.
Carborough.
And Carborough,
yes.
Sure about Hillsboro, but
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot going on.
And we always have a lot. We pride ourselves on a lot going on. So a lot of ideas. But look for some good outputs on this. I'm excited about this retreat. I think it's an opportunity. Last year, we were just trying to get to know each other a lot better and sort of explain where we were and where we're headed and the fact that we had to start looking for a new town manager. So this time, we have that town manager, and we can start working on the projects.
Should be awesome. Townofchapelhill.org for more information on that and other town affairs. Mayor Pam Heminger, thank you so much.
Thank you.